Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
We've enjoyed having Timothy Wilson here with us today. Jeff began studying with him several months ago. And he said a little while ago that he was an atheist until then. And we're certainly glad that he's changed that position. Also, I learned something else today. If you don't want Evan to know anything, don't whisper it. I barely heard myself, and yet he was able to hear what I said this morning. That was an amazing thing. Back in 1968... crowds of young people accosted the police in Chicago with unruly demonstrations while the Democratic National Convention was going on. In fact, something similar to that occurred in Seattle this past week. Vanessa got back just in time from her visit. But what many people didn't know back then was that the crowds were shouting at the police after having provoked them, "The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching." And they knew that they would probably come off with a favorable impression on the country, because you didn't see what they were doing. You didn't see the things that they were throwing, the dangers that they had put the police in. All you saw was the police reacting. And so it looked pretty bad. Of course, the whole world was not watching the police, the abuse the police were receiving. But today, if there were a chant that would comment on current conditions, it would have to be something like, "The whole world is not watching," or "The whole world is asleep," or "The whole world is too self-absorbed to care about things that are going on." Or maybe even we could say, "Totus mundus stultizat." Now, you may not recognize that Latin phrase, but I'm going to explain that in just a few moments. In a book written by Don Fetter called "A Jewish Conservative Looks at Pagan America," he relates how that Emperor Joseph of Austro-Hungary, while in his 80s, had to sit through a two-hour opening session of Parliament. Afterward, the emperor shuffled to the podium and uttered one single sentence in Latin, "Totus mundus stultizat," which is translated, "The whole world is growing stupid." Well, do you need proof? This last week, a councilman in Washington, D.C., introduced a resolution in the city council that called for the Washington Redskins to change their name to the Washington Redtails. Why? Well, because apparently Redskins is offensive and racist. Does that mean the Vikings are too? I just wondered. At any rate, quarterback RG3, Robert Griffin III, sent out a tweet that said, "In a land of freedom," and then he repeated himself with bold letters, "In a land of freedom, we are held hostage by the tyranny of political correctness." He got a lot of flack for that. But he also got a lot of support, mainly because he's right. Many people want to force their opinions and evaluations on others and punish them if they don't conform. And we see that in the media all the time. But such notions are just plain stupid, which is a valid assessment, but a lot of people don't like that word, so henceforth we'll call it foolish, which is biblical. We find that word in the Bible. Actually, you find stupid in some translations too, but we'll go with foolish. The word appears in the New Testament 6 times. It is the opposite of the verb translated understand. And the verb understand appears 10 times in the New Testament, twice as perceive, once as think, and once as consider. So 14 times, but 10 times it is used as understand. The word translated foolish is the opposite of that. It's the one who does not understand, does not perceive, does not consider, does not think. That is the problem with so many in the world today. Jesus used the term fools of the two on the way to Emmaus. Let's look at that in Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. After he had joined with them in the walk and asked them what they were talking about, and they said some things that we were hoping this was the Christ and all of that, he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then he proceeded to expound and explain Old Testament scriptures and prophecies so that they could understand it. Now, he wasn't trying to insult them when he called them that, but they had not taken the information that they had and put it together properly and come out with the right conclusion. And so he did that for them. Paul used this word to contrast against the wise in Romans 1:14. There are the wise and the otherwise, the foolish. Paul used it twice in the passage that was just read for us in Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians! Why? Because they knew the truth, but they had been listening to men who were taking them away from the truth. And that is, of course, a foolish road to walk on. Let's look at a couple of more. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. It's used in a different way in this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. We ought to be warned about the foolishness of doing that kind of thing. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That kind of behavior is foolish. It is not wise behavior. It is foolish behavior. If Jesus called on the disciples on the road to Emmaus foolish for not understanding and applying the scriptures properly, he might say, what might he say of people who reject evidence today? Any evidence. When William Jefferson Clinton was impeached, Democratic Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia admitted on national television that he was guilty. Of course, those in his own party and quite a few Republicans also had no intention of finding him guilty of the impeachment charges, although they knew he was guilty. But how does this relate to what we just said? There was a room full of files, a room full of evidence for every senator to go in and look at. A great percentage of them never even looked. They didn't care what the evidence was. They had already made up their minds. Journalists, some in television and some in the print media, tripped all over themselves to rationalize Clinton's behavior. Hugh Downs said that his problem was just a matter of glands. Sexual misconduct cannot be blamed on glands. The Bible blames it on the heart. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And what did Jesus teach in Matthew 5, 27 and 28? That it's wrong to even look on a woman to lust after her in your heart. That's where the problem starts. In your heart. In your mind. And yet people were defending him for his immoral behavior. Margaret Carlson wrote an article called "The Clinton in Us All." You can imagine what it said. She claimed that we can all fairly easily avoid big sins such as murder, and we should try to be honest, but anyone who opposes lying is just being hypocritical. The whole world is growing foolish. The whole world is getting that way in respect to some of these things. Now again, the Greek word does not refer to somebody who is incapable of understanding the truth, any truth, particularly God's truth, truth in spiritual matters, but it describes one who deliberately turns away from understanding. It's not that they don't have the ability. They do. The foolish person is the one who doesn't want to exercise the abilities that God gave him in the proper way. And we want to look at some different associations of foolishness from the Scriptures. What are some things that are associated with foolishness? It'll give us more of an idea of what we're up against. First of all, Psalm 92, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 92, verses 5 and 6. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Why not? Because he's incapable? No, he doesn't want to. And we run into those types of individuals all the time. It isn't that they cannot know the great works of God. The works of God are all around us. The works of God are recorded in the Scriptures. It is not that the evidence is not available. They're just ignored. Pharaoh tried to do that foolishly, and it didn't work very well for him in the final analysis. He tried several times to ignore the power of God, the works of God, but he was foolish in how he was approaching these things. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, we read, "The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall." If Pharaoh had been wise in heart, he would have been convinced a lot earlier, and much less damage would have accrued to Egypt. But he was not wise. He was foolish. There are some who are subject themselves to idols, but there are some who are their own God. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who needs counsel is wise." Have you ever heard somebody say that? "Well, I don't need any help. I don't need any advice. I know what I'm doing." And then later on, you see the mess that they have gotten themselves into. Or Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. A lot of people think, I got it figured out. No, I don't need God. I don't need the scriptures. I don't need worship. I don't need to have anything to do with the church. I got it all figured out. But they don't. They have just deceived themselves in their own foolishness, that they have it all figured out. And there will come a day when they will realize that. We should pray that they find it out now, because to find it out later is going to be too late to have anything to do about it. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. So a foolish man is one who is devoid of wisdom, and he despises and hates his neighbor. Does he probably know that the Bible says to love your neighbor? Yes. But he doesn't recognize that because he's so much wiser, you see, in his own eyes. And that's the way a fool approaches things. A wise man can also maintain his temper. He can hold his peace. It's the foolish man that refuses to do that and says things that he'll probably regret later. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So your poverty will come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man. In this passage, foolishness is associated with the lazy person. The one who will not work, who will not even take care of his own property. And so that's another association. Jeremiah chapter 10 or 12 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 8. Just added two to each one. Jeremiah 10:8 says, "But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine." And yet, people in the Old Testament worshipped idols in every nation. They were almost all idolaters. Israel joined in until they were taken captive. It's a foolish doctrine. And yet, even though we don't, in this country at least, have idols of wood and stone, we have plenty of idols and people are worshiping them daily, if not, as we said earlier, themselves in place of an idol. But they will trust in an idol before they will consider God. They will hold to an error that they've been taught before they will consider the truth. Thus, things associated with foolishness are not recognizing the works of God, that is, evidences of His existence and character. It's associated with exalting idols or even oneself to the position of Almighty God. And it's also associated with hating others, having no self-control, and being lazy. Society is wrought with foolishness today. I want to read a brief column written by Mona Charon in connection with something that happened just 2 or 3 weeks ago. I believe the announcement was made. And it'll become apparent what is about in just a moment. We tell ourselves, we parents of college-bound kids, that American campuses really aren't as bad as all that. And then we read headlines like Kathy Bowden teaching at Columbia. Now, I'm not sure that's the correct pronunciation of her name. It's B-O-U-D-I-N. It could be Bowdine or Bowdin, if it's French or whatever, but I'm just going to call her Bowden. We read headlines like Kathy Bowden teaching at Columbia, and sharp reality once again punctures the comfortable cushion of denial. Bowden was a member of the Weather Underground, a left-wing domestic terror group. They bombed the United States Capitol. They bombed the State Department and the Pentagon. They planned to detonate a bomb full of nails at a soldier's dance in Fort Dix, New Jersey. The bomb exploded prematurely in a New York townhouse. In 1981, Bowden was at the wheel of the getaway vehicle when the Weather Underground held up a Brinks truck and stole $1.6 million. Her colleagues killed the driver and gravely wounded another guard. Then they transferred to the U-Haul truck the money that Bowden was driving. When the U-Haul was stopped by the police, Bowden got out of the cab with her hands up and urged police to lower their weapons. When they did, six of her heavily armed accomplices jumped out of the back of the truck and gunned down two of the officers. Bowden, a cradle communist, and by that she means her father was Fidel Castro's lawyer, was 38 at the time of the Brinks attack. She spent the next 22 years in prison after pleading guilty to felony murder, and she is now an adjunct professor of social work at Columbia University. The whole world is stupid. From the great halls of our finest, still quoting from the column, university, there is a reverberating silence about Columbia's decision to hire and thereby honor a murderer, a terrorist, and an enemy of the United States who has never expressed any remorse. It might be different if someone of this type said, I was younger and foolish, but you know, she was 38 at the time. She wasn't a kid. But even if she had admitted that this was wrong and that she was deeply ashamed and embarrassed and tried to atone to the families and all of that, that might be one thing, but she's never shown any remorse whatsoever for being a terrorist. Can you imagine in 20 years that the terrorist that was captured in Boston, if he were somehow released from prison and invited to join a university faculty? That's the same thing as what happened here. The five-member Orangetown, New Jersey, or New York Town Board passed a resolution condemning Columbia, good for them, and calling upon its neighbor to sever all ties with the woman who was responsible for the deaths of three men. The nephew of one of the murdered officers told the New York Post, "It's easy to forget that nine children grew up without their dads because of her actions." Yes, very easy, especially for left-wing academics. Veterans of the Weather Underground have a better track record of getting employment at leading universities than do supporters of Mitt Romney. Each year, on October 20th, the anniversary of the Brinks robbery, the police in Nyack, New York, hold a memorial service. The ceremony is attended by survivors, family members of those who were killed, and local and state and federal law enforcement officials. A small scholarship has been endowed to honor policemen Edward O'Grady and Waverly Brown. It is a disgrace that only the police and the families of the deceased seem to honor their memories. One of America's universities has not just forgotten, it has spit on their graves. How do you account, that's the end of the column, how do you account for any university even thinking about hiring a terrorist as a faculty member? Totus mundus stultisat. The whole world is growing foolish. And we could go on and on with other examples. You probably know several of them yourselves. But these are just a sampling of how can people claim to think logically and do things like this. This defies logic. It defies reason. But you know what? It has always been that way, hasn't it? Unfortunately. We find God's people being as stubborn, maybe even more stubborn than Pharaoh was in the Old Testament. Not just pagans, but God's own people rejecting His holy law. Two of the commandments that were probably easy to remember were ones that came right at the beginning. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images. And yet, they did. They put all kinds of gods before Jehovah. They made all kinds of idols and bowed down and worshiped them. How can you logically do that? Well, you can't logically. But you can for other reasons, such as to try to fit in with the culture that surrounds you. We ought to take a cue from the disastrous things that happened to Israel, that we have no desire, that we should have no will to, we should have no inclination to try to conform to the world around us. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We can be wise. We don't have to be associated with foolishness. We don't have to be associated with laziness, with hatred, with emotionally speaking our peace, rather than thinking it over calmly. We don't have to be associated with those things. We can be wise, and God's people certainly ought to practice wisdom. We know where wisdom is found. We know how wisdom is defined, and we know how to practice it. Certainly we want to disassociate ourselves and distance ourselves from the whole world that is growing foolish. We can be wise. We can believe God's great works. We can obey Him in all things. And that is genuine wisdom. This evening, if you have not obeyed the gospel, God has given it to us. He has explained it to us. It has been proclaimed throughout the New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, that you must not only acknowledge the true and living God and that Jesus is His Son, but you must repent of your sins. Most people don't want to repent. They're enjoying their sins too much to repent. But there's a price that comes with that foolishness. We must be baptized into Jesus Christ so that His blood can wash all of our sins away. And that is true wisdom, to be clean before God, to have everything put off that separates us from God, and then to walk in the ways of righteousness to maintain that fellowship that we enter into when we become Christians. If we can help you in that regard this evening, we would be delighted to do so. If you have fallen away and are no longer serving God as you ought, then please return and make a wise choice to follow him thoroughly and completely once again. And we invite you to come if you need to for any of those reasons while we stand and while we sing.
Some soul to save.